This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris, and an interesting story came out this week about California trying to do something about revenge online porn. I didn't know what that was either until I heard about this story. Apparently, there's been a trend going on for several years now where a couple gets together and they get kind of intimate, and one of them convinces the other to pose for some nude photographs, or maybe some are taken candid, not so posed, and then the couple breaks up. And the pictures don't go away. Instead, the person who has been broken up with puts them online as a form of revenge against their ex. And in many cases, this has caused a lot of harm to the person who is in the picture and is naked and is now exposed to the world in more ways than one. As I mentioned, California has recently been talking about a law and passed one just this past week about revenge porn sites. So I thought, well, let's go to somebody who knows about the law in California. And here's Eugene Volokh, who is a law professor at UCLA. Eugene, welcome to America Weekend.
A great pleasure to be on your show.
Explain to me how somebody can take a photo of somebody else and then put that picture online without that person's permission and use this as a form of revenge.
Well, the one word you didn't mention there was naked. And if that's so, if you set aside the nudity point, what you've described is perfectly legal and, in fact, probably protected by the First Amendment. Let's say, for example, a newspaper reporter, a newspaper photographer, or a television photographer sees some politician doing or saying something embarrassing and then posts it online. That's constitutionally protected. And that's so even if the motives of the photographer are bad, even if the photographer says, aha, I've always had it in for this guy ever since he voted for some bill I don't like or something like that. I'm going to show him to be a fool. Or I'm even going to show a picture of him that kind of unfairly depicts him as foolish. You know, sometimes you have a picture where somebody just looks silly, but that's just because they're caught in the middle of a blink or a yawn.
Yep, I think that's
fully constitutionally protected. And that's so even if the person isn't a politician but just an ordinary passerby, you can stand on a street corner and photograph passersby and then post them online, and there's nothing illegal about it. If you sell those pictures just as pictures rather than including them in a newspaper article or some such, you might be sued for appropriate the commercial value of a person's identity, but generally speaking, that's fine. The question is whether there should be a different rule for the special case of nudity or other sexual contacts. And that, I think, makes sense, but it's important to realize people think they own their image, they own their likeness. They don't really. Generally speaking, lots of people photograph others and are free to do so and free to post that.
Okay, so once somebody puts that online, do we have to have, well, I was going to say, do we have to have a law? But I guess even going beyond the law, would the person who is aggrieved in this case, the person who was naked and had their picture posted against their will, do they have to prove that the other person was intending to cause distress by doing so?
So here's the thing. The California statute prohibits the posting of nude photos of others without their consent.
Okay.
But only if that is done with the intent to distress the other person. And I think the drafters of the law figured, you know, there are some possible constitutional problems with these kinds of things. They think it's constitutionally permissible, but might as well make it as narrow as possible. So that's why they have this intent to distress requirement.
Okay.
The problem is that means that in some situations, for example, if somebody breaks up with someone famous or someone who later becomes famous and then just posts it online to make money off of it. No desire to distress, just a desire to make money. I think that's at least as bad as desire to get revenge,
yep.
And yet the California law would not cover that. So, yeah, the California law is narrowly drafted. It's focused on these kinds of postings with the desire to the intent to distress someone. Sometimes that'll be pretty easy to prove because that's the only motivation there might be. In other situations, it might not be so easy to prove.
So in the case of a guy posting this about a woman, and I'm guessing in most cases that's what it is because there are more people who want to see naked women online than naked men online. So let's assume that it's a man who is the offender here. Under the California law, is he looking at jail time?
Potentially, yes. Potentially a lawsuit and criminal prosecution. And I think one reason that this is made criminal is that in many situations, neither the victim nor the perpetrator have a lot of money. So what that means is that the victim can't really hire a lawyer with her own money. And while in some situations a lawyer might be willing to take a case in a contingency fee, if the defendant doesn't have any money, the lawyer says, how am I going to get paid? So one reason for making this a criminal prosecution is to allow people to complain to the prosecutor, and then the prosecutor can turn around and use prosecutorial resources, tax money essentially, to go after these people. So I think that's one reason why California decided to make it a criminal offense. Already in most states, this would probably be treated as civilly actionable, as the kind of thing you could sue over under, for example, under the disclosure of private facts tort. But that was generally seen as not enough for the financial reasons I just mentioned.
Okay, what about going after the people who are posting these things on their websites? And I am assuming that these websites are charging people money to look at them, and therefore there must be a bundle of cash that you can go after. Does the law apply to the operators of these revenge porn websites?
The California criminal statute does not, and the civil causes of action, the tort claims that I mentioned, the disclosure of private facts tort claims, probably wouldn't either. And that's because of a federal statute called 47 U.S.C. Section 230. And that statute generally immunizes websites from civil liability for things that are posted on those sites. It was set up to essentially to protect legitimate discourse online from the threat of libel lawsuits. Because if, for example, Gmail or Google, running Gmail or some other service, has to take down posts or block emails or delete emails whenever somebody says, oh, something libelous here, you better delete it or I'll sue you, what would happen is all of these services would over-censor. So as a result, Congress back in the mid-1990s said that we're going to immunize website operators, whether big or small, from liability for things that are posted by third parties.
Even if the intent of the website is specifically to post revenge online porn?
So if the website is deliberately solicits revenge porn, if it specifically says, post unauthorized pictures here, that might fall within an exception of the statute, because there the court might say that the website deliberately helped create this material in the first place by soliciting it. But if the website is just a general porn website where it says, hey, post amateur porn here, or for that matter, if somebody posts it on, I don't know, Facebook, I guess Facebook generally blocks nudity, but something like that, some sort of blog of his own that's run on a site that allows nudity, then in that case, yes, the website operator would be immune because they're not aimed at revenge porn. They're aimed at porn generally, which is legal.
Now, one of the things that most people should know about anything that gets posted online is it never really goes away. But can the victim of this revenge porn go to these websites and say, hey, you've got a picture of me naked or in some compromising position, and I want you to take it down, and force that person legally to get it off their site?
So interestingly, the answer is not under this California law, not under ordinary tort law because of 47 U.S.C. Section 230.
Mm-hmm.
But one exception that there is in this federal immunity for websites has to do with copyright law. So if the victim took the photograph herself, then she's the copyright owner. And as a result, she could demand that the websites take down that photograph. There are procedures for demanding that. So if she owns the copyright, then and only then can she require the websites to take it down.
Okay, so we're talking about a situation kind of like an Anthony Weiner kind of thing. Somebody sexts a picture of themselves to their partner, and then that partner takes that picture and puts it online. Now she, the sexter, can say to the sextee, you have to take that down, or she could say to the website, you have to take that down because I own that picture because I photographed myself.
Exactly. Now, the one problem is what happens if she's not the one who took it? What if it's the perpetrator who took it? The defendant who took it. Well, so one thing that sometimes might happen is she sues, for example, the defendant. She might, as part of the settlement, demand that the defendant turn over the copyright to her. Turn over the copyright and the photo, and then she'd be the copyright owner, and then she'd be able to go after the website. So there are ways of, in some situations, of getting it taken down. It's hard. It's hard to do.
All right. We've been talking all this time about the law in California. Are there laws proposed, or have there been laws passed in other states, or is there possibly federal legislation in the pipeline about this?
So there is such a law that's been on the books for some time in New Jersey. I don't know of any such laws enacted in other states, although there's been talk of them in other states as well. It's certainly possible that Congress might enact such a statute. In particular, if Congress enacts such a statute, it might also carve out an exception from this federal immunity, the 47 U.S.C. Section 230, federal immunity for service providers, saying, look, generally speaking, you don't have to take things down. But if it's a nude photo and somebody says this is a nude photo of me and this is illegal, take it down, then you would have to take it down. So that's something that Congress could do. I haven't heard of any indication of Congress actually doing it, and I hear Congress has some other things to do in the meantime.
Yeah, they're not doing those either. So
yeah.
You know what I'm reminded of in all of this, Eugene, is the old thing about the actor or actress who, you know, when they're 18 or 19 years old, they agree to do something or have their picture taken naked or topless or whatever it is. And then, you know, they're not well known at the time, but then 5 years later, they become a star because they're on a sitcom or in their movie. And now they say, wait a second, you shouldn't be posting pictures of me that I took. You know, the photographer had the copyright and all that sort of stuff. And I always want to say to those people, if you don't want that to happen, you shouldn't pose naked for anybody. And I think that rule might apply to all of the people we're talking to today who might wonder, well, how do I avoid having this done? If you don't have anybody take your picture naked, it's very unlikely you're going to show up on an online revenge porn site.
So I think that is good practical advice. But I do think there's an important moral distinction between somebody who allows a picture to be taken naked precisely for purposes of publication. That's the actor you're talking about, or the model. And gets paid for that, and then sometime later regrets that and says, oh, no, I want that all taken back. Well, there, they not only allowed a picture to be taken, they allowed a picture to be taken for purposes of distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stuck with a deal they made. On the other hand, people tend to trust those whom they're close to, those whom they're having sex with, those whom they may be in love with, maybe somebody who is their spouse. They may trust them. And it's true, if you want to be super cautious, you'd better not trust anybody, at least as to something like this. But in a situation where you trust somebody, where you allow them to take this picture with the understanding that it's for their own purpose and not for others' purposes, it seems to me reasonable to say that, look, maybe you did something a little dangerous, but the other person shouldn't be legally free to go out there and distribute it way beyond the understanding that the two of you had. It's kind of like saying, just to take an example, which is, to be sure, much, much more serious, but still, if somebody has sex with someone else, there is always the risk that they're going to get a sexually transmitted disease.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, if somebody deliberately infects somebody else with an STD or knowingly infects somebody with an STD without revealing that they're themselves infected, especially if it's a deadly disease like HIV, the law, at least in many states, makes that a crime, and rightly so. To be sure, if you want to be really super safe, you'd better not have sex with as many people, let's say. If you want to be super, super safe, you better not have sex with anybody. But even if you do something that's potentially a little bit dangerous, if somebody deliberately exacerbates that danger and acts wrongly towards you, the law can rightly punish that person.
Eugene Volek is a professor of law at the University of California in Los Angeles, UCLA, and a First Amendment scholar, and by the way, the author of a terrific blog, probably one of the most read law blogs in America or even in the world, called The Volek Conspiracy. Thanks so much for joining me here today, Eugene.
Very much my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.